drinking?
No! Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily. I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Now, whose ass I gotta kiss to get myself a beer?
It's show 27 of BigFoamyHead.com.
This is our post-Super Bowl, pre-Valentine's show.
Right, and we have we're in a New York state of beer with a couple of selections from the Hebrew beers. There's two of them, the Genesis Ale, Messiah Bold, and we've got, they are out of Saratoga Springs, New York, and we've got some beers from Brooklyn, from the Brooklyn Brewing Company. We're going to be drinking a Pennant Ale 55 and an East India Pale Ale. And we're going to start, though, by talking about the evils of alcohol.
Yeah, let's go there. Last night was the big dance.
Yeah.
We
took the girls to the Valentine's dance, and we experienced, once again, we let our guard down.
And there was lots of yellow fizzy beer.
And drank way too much rat piss beer.
Yeah.
And we're paying for it today.
Every single one of us. So if we're a little off our game. Not that we have much game to begin with, but if we're a little off, that's why.
We were all taking turns driving the porcelain bus this morning. And that is words to live by. Don't drink bad beer.
It was a big time, though.
Yeah, it was a big time, and we hit it hard.
I think the wives appreciated it.
They did. They were good. And we're joined today by Tom Mascari again, and we're going to have some more barbecue news, right? We've got a lot of barbecue news, and we're back to cooking, finally. And Rick has produced some good tasting ribs, which we just enjoyed.
Yeah, I did that for the Super Bowl. Actually, we've got a webpage that we'll link on our site, so you can go and look at how I prepared the ribs and talk a little bit about the secret recipe.
Right, and we're going to talk some more about the barbecue team. The newspaper has been hounding us again about when are we going to get going. So we're getting going now, and finally we've got a musical guest today. He's not from Memphis, but he's related to Rick, who is in Memphis, so that sort of counts.
Right, that does give us a connection. And this is a big-time rock and roller. He's the lead guitarist for Paul McCartney. And if you've been watching any Paul McCartney at the Grammys or last year at the Super Bowl or in the Paul McCartney specials they've had, you've seen Rusty. He's been on, I think, to Paul's right.
Mm-hmm. So, and Rusty Anderson's played apparently with everyone who's ever had anything to do with music, according to his bio, right?
Yeah, he was a session musician in Los Angeles. Been on 100 albums, Ricky Martin's, La Vida Loca,
Santana,
and Elton John.
Mm-hmm. So he's got
whole list.
He might have a future in the business there.
Yeah, well, maybe. I think he's arrived. I don't know how much farther you can go as a guitarist.
Yeah, that's some pretty good stuff. So we're drinking our first beer, the Genesis Ale. And the Hebrew Brewing Company, this is Schmaltz Brewing Company. Their brews are called Hebrew, the Chosen Beer. And they're very in to celebrating their Jewness, and they have two offerings, which is not a whole lot for a beer company, but they figure, well, you know, why improve on their success? Genesis Ale is what we're drinking right now. It's described as crisp, smooth, and perfectly balanced between a West Coast-style pale and amber ale with a supple malt sweetness and a pronounced hop flourish.
Definitely you can taste the malts. So.
It is a malty beverage, and the hops listed here are Warrior, Northern Brewer, and Willamette. I had not heard of Warrior.
Neither have I.
That's some special kind of hop, I reckon. Malts, Two Rogue, Caramel, 40L, Dark Crystal Munich, and Wheat. And this, to me, we were talking about it earlier, tastes like a malt extract.
Better than a malt extract, but if you've had malt extract before...
I mean, it's got that kind of richness of flavor. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's just a very rich beer, and it's got a good color to it, and it poured a nice thick head, and good beer.
So if you're getting tired of having too many hops and things in your beer, then this is a good choice for you because it has more of the malt flavor. The bottle's kind of cute. It says, sorry about the knock. Why is this beer different from all other beers? In the beginning, there was an idea, and it was good. a gourmet kosher microbrew to celebrate the bounty of our own American land of milk and honey. Our first creation is Genesis Ale, a rich, smooth, and distinctive light brown ale. A smidgen of Middle East, a dash of American West. Then we tasted it, and it was very good. After 5,000 years of civilization, finally a microbrew with a chutzpah to call itself the chosen beer. So,
there you go.
And it says, L'chaim.
L'chaim.
To life.
Yeah, that's right. That's what pegged the meters just then, huh? All right.
So, I hope nothing came out.
Yeah. Well, I got to claim a microphone off. Hold on.
Yeah, there you go.
So, this beer, and we were talking about the richness and the flavor, and we've got another beer that's also rich and full of flavor, and that is your homebrew, All Grain Bock
right,
beer.
Right. Since we've last recorded, I did my first All Grain batch, and we talked about it with James Spencer. It went well. It was kind of an ordeal. I was having a real difficult time getting the temperatures to step up.
Well, that's like, you know, you were getting into the big boy brewing with the all grain.
Now, what does this sound like to you? You've got 12 pounds of grain, you've got 4 gallons of water at 122 degrees, and you need to raise it to 155 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a math problem, right?
Yeah.
Who would have figured? Anyway.
Yeah. Math and alcohol don't mix.
So, that was an ordeal. I've corrected. I made corrections, and my next batch will go a lot smoother. I'll try it a little differently. But anyway, that's been fermenting away, and it's my first lager also. So
That's
a top fermenting yeast. And yesterday when I transferred it from the primary fermenter to the secondary fermenter, there was like yeast floating around on top, and I wasn't used to that.
Yeah, kind of nasty looking, huh?
Okay. Well, it looked like scum.
Yeah, all right.
Scum. But I knew what it was, so yeah. I wasn't too surprised.
And we need to mention, we mentioned James Spencer again, and we're just talking back and forth across the podcast here, and they kept referring to us and the bet that we had made on the previous show that we mentioned it, and then they proceeded to not only tell everyone but to show everyone on their video podcast.
Yeah,
And so he's not ashamed to rub it in.
I did pay him off, but it was kind of an evil payoff on my behalf because I gave him beers that he has to wait to drink.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
He won't be able to drink those until really Thanksgiving.
And so we're going to talk a little bit also about Super Bowl commercials, and I want to segue from we keep mentioning all these different styles of beers. So anybody that listens to this is going to nod their head knowingly while in their back of their mind going, well, what is the difference between a pale ale and an amber ale? And what exactly is a Bock beer? Although Rick says that Bock means goat.
Goat in German.
But you can learn about it. And I learned this off of the Super Bowl commercials. We're going to talk in a little bit about some of the commercials. But one of them that I saw was all about beer and people basically were holding their glasses up and toasting you, and they were saying cheers or whatever in their native language. And it was real interesting. I thought, well, what is it? Which beer company? What is
it? Yeah, I was trying to figure out what beer they were promoting.
And so at the very end, it wasn't a beer company. It was promoting a website, herestobeer.com. I have visited this website, and I highly recommend it. It is the best way to learn about what types of beer there are. It's a very visual way to just kind of get you into understanding a little bit more about it. And it covers the Bock beers. It covers the types of ales. It covers the difference between a lager and top fermenting and bottom fermenting. And it really makes it where you can understand it. And this is brought to us by the Beer Institute. We have to have them on a future show. We've gotten in contact with them, and hopefully we'll have a little bit from them down the road.
Another job that sounds like it'd be great to have.
Yeah.
Working for the Beer Institute.
That's right. Well, why don't we take our first musical break and listen to a cut from Rusty Anderson's CD titled Undressing Underwater. And this is track number one, Hurt Myself.
Victim. turning blue.
That was Rusty Anderson, Hurt Myself, from his Undressing Underwater CD.
And you can visit his website. It's www.rustyanderson.com. I bought the album off iTunes, so you can go get it there, too.
And we didn't clarify, what is he related to you?
He's my half-sister's uncle.
Okay.
So he's near family.
That's right.
For me.
Yeah, so. So that's why we let him on the show.
Right, yeah. Actually, he's very gracious to let us use his music, so
yeah,
we
appreciate it.
Hope to get him on an interview sometime.
Yeah,
so.
Be nice. And this is a first in a while. We had no interview on
this
show.
That's true.
That's all right. Except we have Tom.
We have Tom here.
Well, so we're going to interview Tom. He's focusing on the beer, though. He's very intense on his beer. Holds it up to the light, sniffs it, swirls it, you know. He's really into it. So that's why he didn't say anything yet. But after we get a couple more into him. So he started on our second offering from the Schmaltz, the Messiah Bold. What did y'all think about that? It's a tasty beverage.
It's good. It's good. You got yours down.
Yeah, mine's gone. Yeah, mine's gone.
So people know we split one bottle three ways, so we're not really getting all looped up. But,
right. That's so. At least that's what we tell people we did.
So that's
it's true today because we've all got the fuzzy head from our hard night at the Valentine's dance.
Man's work is never done.
That's right. So the Messiah Bold, it says it's the beer we've been waiting for, and I've been waiting for it since the first beer I just had. It's a deep, bold, nut brown ale, beautifully balanced with rich, dark malts and a complex hop character, converging to reveal a simply enchanting beer.
It's good. I'd call it a session beer. It's one that you could drink a few of.
Yeah. The Genesis Ale had a lot more hop overtone. This one is malty, but not as malty, and it's definitely not as hoppy. Two Row, Carapillus, Dark Crystal, caramel, 50L, dark chocolate, and Victory malts, and hops are Warrior, Cascade, and Mount Hood. Now, we have no alcohol content on these beers. I'm sure there's alcohol in it. It's probably standard run alcohol, but it's very good, and nothing on their website tells us the alcohol. A lot of neat little trivial things on there, schmaltz.com. And we were talking during the musical break about Super Bowl.
Commercials.
Commercials, yep.
We didn't care about the game.
No. Let's fast forward it to
two teams were on the field.
Yeah.
one of them doing better than the other.
Yeah, one of them won.
Yeah.
Okay. As always. And
actually, I think the Seahawks, they could have done it if they would have gone for it on the fourth down in the first half. You know, they wimped out, and the game was over for them after that, if you ask me.
But. So you just alienated half of the people listening. Okay. Probably.
Sorry,
with
guys.
With our luck. So anyway, one of the big draws on the Super Bowl, of course, whenever you're talking about Super Bowl, you're definitely talking about beer. And most likely, you're talking about something grilled out, and down here, it's going to be ribs or some form of barbecue. So we mentioned Rick's Ribs. They're on the website, and you can link to them. Take a look and see how he prepared them, put them together. It's a good piece. And we were talking about the commercials, and there's, of course, tons of beer commercials.
We're also eating ribs, so what do you think? Are they good?
Oh, they're great! Yeah,
excellent.
So I used Rendezvous dry rub on them,
and you did something a little different.
I soaked them in brine.
Right,
it was my first time brining the ribs, and mm-hmm. I'm hooked. I'm sold.
I think it did great. It's got a flavor all through it. You had a good smoke ring into it. I mean, they're good. And this is all part. This is like the first rib cook.
We're working up
for the barbecue team. So we're working our way through that. And all right, we were going to talk about Super Bowl commercials. A lot of beer commercials. There was the one you just watched. Was it Michelob?
Yeah, Michelob Amber.
Which you don't know how you feel about that one.
Well, I do know how I feel about it. I didn't like it. It was a touch football game. And the guy basically creamed a perky blonde
right. Who
went and caught a pass. So, you know, it's kind of it's a little abusive for one thing.
Wow.
And it says light beer just got a little darker.
Okay.
You know, so.
Well, the thing I saw about it is the majority of the commercials on the Super Bowl are beer. I mean, you had that. You had a couple from Budweiser.
You had the
little pony pushing the wagon.
Yeah. That was so cute.
And then we had, what were some of the other?
The big Clydesdales were helping out.
Yeah.
It made me cry.
Yeah. A little tear came trickling down your cheek when you watched that.
Very touching. Made me want to drink Budweiser.
Yeah. For about, a second? And then you came to your senses. And that's the whole point right there. All of these commercials, highly produced, put out there to incite you to go and buy more really bad beer that makes you feel bad in the morning.
Yeah, you have to drink it cold, otherwise it's just not good.
That's right, because as it warms up, it gets bad.
I did like the Bud Light where the bear was chasing the guy down, and so he put the beer on a rock, and the other guy did his little thrill-seeker run through there and grabbed the beer off the rock and go, woohoo! That made me laugh. That was a funny one.
Well, see, that's the thing. They did great commercials.
The Secret Fridge, classic.
The Secret Fridge one, that was really funny. But if they just spend a little more time on their beer instead of on their commercials, I mean, surely with the money they spend on that, they could release maybe a better product.
Who are we to tell Budweiser how to run a business,
apparently,
though?
Apparently, we're not the ones. But that's why I think the Beer Institute and HeresToBeer.com that they're trying to change
the
way people
think.
Well, I guess
beer consumption is down.
Yeah, they said for the first time in I don't know if forever, but in quite a long time, wine sales have eclipsed beer sales. And that is just not a good thing. Would you want this country to be known as a land of wine drinkers? I don't think so.
People in California might, but
Well, no, that's why we have California.
Well, the price of wine is going down every year, and you're getting grapes from more regions of the world. So I think that's what's happening, is it's becoming a lower price point.
Okay, but do you think it might have something to do with taste? It's different. You can try different varieties, different taste, whereas your beer, they're in a blind tasting. Hell, you'd probably be hard-pressed to figure out which was which.
Yeah, if your whole experience with beer is Bud.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And with the major brands of beer, they're pretty consistent across the board. They're not going to be too offensive. They got all the adjuncts and stuff in there. They don't have the robustness and richness that other beers have. I mean, we've had a lot of beers and liked a lot of them, and some of them just can't stand. But they're all over the board, as opposed to if you had a random sampling of the top brewers, they all taste very similar. So,
yeah,
my two cents. Well, let's take another listen to Rusty Anderson. And this song coming up, you were telling me, is a tribute.
Yeah, it's a personal song for Rusty. When he was young, I think it was about five, his brother died. And what reminds him of his brother is the smell of electric trains, because apparently, you know, they'd put together the trains and watch them.
So these are the little electric trains.
Yeah, yeah, little Tyco guys and all those, you
okay.
know.
I was thinking like the elevated trains, the great big ones.
Yeah, if you've ever played with electric trains, you know they've got a distinct kind of...
yeah, the little transformer thing. Heating up. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, let's listen to Ions. Something like that. Let's listen to Rusty Anderson and Electric Trains.
It's a good song.
We're back. That was Rusty Anderson, Hurt Myself. From his Undressing Underwater.
Always remember, I can always remember.
Rusty, Electric Trains. And Rick, we were talking about your Bock beer earlier and neglected to mention you got this from
Northern Brewer.
Right. And you've had a couple of, are they the ones who send things by mail?
No, that was Austin Homebrew Supply.
Okay, so Northern Brewer.
I don't
want
to diss them too bad. But
Northern Brewer still is in your good graces.
They're my favorites at the moment.
Okay, and so I mentioned this because we were talking about the beers that we've had have had a strong and sweet character to them, little hop notes on some, a lot more hop notes on others, and now we've gone the opposite direction. We were just eating some barbecue, some more of Rick's ribs that were very good, and putting a little sauce on this go-round. And to drink with it, we had our second brewery featured, the Brooklyn Brewery Beers, and we had, or are still having, an East India Pale Ale. This is from Brooklyn Brewery. It under their style notes, it just simply says ale. It's made from British two-row malts, East Kent Golding, North Down Carapelis, and the alcohol is a lovely 6.8%. This is a hoppy little rascal here, and it says in their the thing that they do at brooklynbrewery.com is they give you food matches for the types of beers, which is pretty good. And this one says it's particularly good with spicy foods such as Thai, Indian, Vietnamese, Sichuan, and Mexican, and etc. And I got to add barbecue to that as well.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm enjoying this more than I did the other two.
Yeah, I think I like, when I'm eating spicy food, something with a little hops. Rather than get a sweet beer to mask it, I think a hop kind of accentuates it, brings out the spices and flavors. So we're talking about barbecue and the barbecue team, and Tom is over here with us, and we've been looking at some contests. I think we mentioned before we had a setback right off the bat. Our first targeted contest was canceled.
Yeah, that was the Caryba one.
Hopefully it wasn't because we thought about doing it. Apparently anything that we refer to or point ourselves at ends in death and destruction for those people. So hopefully it wasn't our fault that it got canceled. So we're looking at a list and putting a laundry list together, and as we get our sites nailed down, our contest, we'll post them on the website, and then that way people who might be in the area will know where we're going to be at, and it should be a good time. We're looking at contests here regionally in the Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi area, but who knows? It depends on how it goes, right? So Tom's here with us, and our big transaction that I think we completed last night, thanks to a lot of really bad beer, and was consummating the deal with getting we got a grill, right?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So Chip,
our neighbor, another one of our neighbor. Oh, at the dance, we had at least four couples from our neighborhood.
Yeah.
So Chip was one of them.
And Chip has a.
Access to a smoker that's on a trailer.
Yeah. So it's all about what can we beg, borrow, or steal. And so we're right now in the planning phases, looking at the contest, getting our equipment list. Rick's done a test cook. Tom and I both need to try our hand.
Of course, we just had a huge snow this weekend, so nobody's cooking right now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's sucking around here in Memphis. I mean, this is some of the crazy weather. We're starting off the week with 30-degree temperatures and ending with 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's what they say. If you don't like the weather in Memphis, wait a minute. So, Tom, what do you think about this whole barbecue thing? I think Rick's ribs are a good starting point.
Yeah, they were. They're great.
So what do we need to do next then?
Of these competitions require you to do brisket and chicken and blah, 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 and we're not really going for those, right? We're just going to go straight –
Yeah. And some of the ones, that's the neat thing about these barbecue contests. They all do their own sort of themes. And I was telling about one particular contest in Marion, Arkansas, which is not too far from here. They just go nuts. It's like a three-day event, and they've got margarita contest, Bloody Mary contest, chili contest, oh, yeah, and a barbecue contest. I mean, it's just some of everything. So this looks like
you'd
a big
one of these things would have a homebrew contest.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Well, maybe we could start that up.
That's right.
Let's just get our competition down first and then start
branching
out from there. How's that?
That's right. So we're going to document this. And we mentioned about the newspaper, Leslie Kelly, the lovely and talented food writer for the Commercial Appeal. She's going to be on the show, I promise. She's emailed me back, and we're going to get her on and document in print and on the web how this barbecue experience happens. So what else we got today?
Hey, we have another beer to drink.
I know.
All right, we're going to crack the Brooklyn Pennant Ale.
Okay, and while you're cracking that open, we're going to switch gears now. We've gone through our barbecue and our post-Super Bowl, and now the other half of the show, the pre-Valentine's Day. And, of course, we are all suffering the same dilemma that every man in the United States is suffering right at this very moment, if they're a real man. You haven't bought anything for your wife or significant other, and therefore, you're in the same boat as us. What to do? Well, you know, the chocolate and roses is always a safe bet, and some of us have to go, depending on how good or bad you've been recently, have to buy furniture or jewels or something like that. So, or what? Or a front door? Yeah, that's what Tom's bought. Nothing says
Looks,
happy
honey,
Valentine's.
Here's your new front door.
Here's your door. And I'm pretty sure she knows that's her Valentine's Day.
That and a $10 gift certificate to Starbucks.
Yeah.
Nothing says romance like a front door.
Yeah, and $10 worth of Starbucks.
Yeah, one drink there.
Your Valentine's Day is going to go real well. We can tell already. But we're talking about, like, you got to lower the expectations. That way you don't get in trouble.
Well, we've been working at it for years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you got to just back it off gradually.
Tom's been married a couple of years less than we have. But
yeah, he's still sucking up. He hadn't learned it doesn't do any good.
No, we all do to some degree or another.
So we're getting into our second beer, and this is one that is a Brooklyn Pennant Ale 55, and I have no idea what the 55 means. I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong.
Brooklyn Dodgers, maybe?
I think that's what it could very well be. Did they perhaps win a pennant in 1955?
It's a
good guess. Obviously, you can tell.
As much as you watch football, that's how much what I watch baseball.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, Tom's a baseball fan.
Well, Tom,
a
you
Yankees
should know.
Fan,
Yankees
fan.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so while we're figuring out what it means, the style here, again, is referred to simply as ale. It's made from Maris and other pale ale malts, and the hops in this is Fuggles, East Kent, and Golding, which is pretty mild hops.
The website says, as Brooklynites, we revere the memory of the 1955 World Champion Dodgers baseball team. So we had to name a beer in their honor.
There you go.
So,
okay.
We were We all know that the Dodgers got their name from dodging trolley cars in Brooklyn. So
they did?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that, but I do now. That's right. Nothing says history like beer. So I got through reading the description, and I neglected to point out it's 5.1%. I've had a swallow or two. What do you think?
Good
I like
stuff.
It.
I like
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm.
I think this is a good everyday drinker.
It's another got session a, beer. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a nice finish to it. The hops are pretty traditional. The Golding and East Kent Golding and Fuggles, that's pretty straightforward hops. It's a good beer. And I had these beers when I was in New York a while back. And I had this at Bobby Flay's restaurant.
Oh, did you?
While I was there.
I didn't realize you went there.
Yeah. I went to his Spanish one, Bolo.
Oh, okay.
And it was very good. So this is house beer there.
Did they have paella?
They did, and my wife had that, and it was very good. And everything I had, of course, Bobby Flay, you know, say what you want about him, the guy can cook. So, and speaking of cooking, that's what we're going to be doing soon. Check the website. Keep up with us. Enjoy yourself some New York beers.
Look for pictures from the dance.
Yeah.
We had a professional photographer take our
That's right.
a group shot of
we'll,
all of us.
We'll so. Have to post that on the website so people can see how we look when we're drunk on rat piss beer and doing our pre-Valentine shuffle.
That's right.
Let's call it a show.
Okay, and we'll exit with another song from Rusty, and it's a little surf music. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of the song.
Catbox Beach. We wondered about that. What is the relevance of a cat box? Is that like litter box and sand? Mm. Who knows? Maybe when we talk to Rusty, we'll find out.
So, it's good music, though.
That's right.
It's a little surf song.
Enjoy it. See you next time.
Bye.